Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23, the missionary giving God richly reimburses. As we've often noted in this lesson series, the Philippian believers lived in a culture marked by selfish ambition and strife, what tempted them to relate to one another in a sinfully selfish way. However, in the realm of giving to missionaries like the Apostle Paul, these believers had so overcome selfish ambition that they had set an example for believers throughout church history. Indeed, God richly reimbursed these believers for that ministry. So we view the details of that work in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 23 for our insight. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14 and going to the end of the book. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account. But I have all, and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, presents Paul sharing God's promise with his readers that God would supply all their material needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Many times I've heard this verse used, as people use it, to cite as a promise from God that he's going to meet their material needs. And it's true that God meets material needs, but it's interesting that the needs that these people met were under a condition. Dr. Ryrie, in his footnote to Philippians 4:19, says the church that gives to missionaries will have its own needs met. That's interesting. We've noticed as a board that when we've been able to allocate monies towards missions and missionary outreach, it's actually helped the bottom line for our church financially. And I've heard of this happening in other churches as well. The church that gives to missionaries will have its own needs supplied. Well, actually, the entire Philippians 4, 14 to 23 context presents a number of qualifications that are needed for God to be so pleased with the donor and with his donations that he will respond by amply meeting the donor's every material need. So we need to view the entire passage for our insight and consequent edification. It's not just giving to missionaries, it's giving in particular ways to missionaries, and we'll cover that. So, Paul's believing Philippian donors gave in special ways that God approved. This is verses 14 to 16, the first part of verse 18, and verses 21 through 22. First of all, Paul's donors pleased God by addressing Paul's material hardships. You notice in verse 14, he says, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." Now, upon evangelizing these Philippian believers, Paul and Silas had their clothes torn off of them, and they were severely beaten and jailed before God had miraculously released them. Remember, that was at Philippi in Acts chapter 16, 11 to 26. And they were singing songs and praising the Lord, praising hymns. And the Lord caused an earthquake to occur and opened up the prison doors and released their shackles, and they were free to go. And the Philippian jailer, who knew that he stood to be executed for the release of the prisoners, was about to fall on his sword to kill himself, otherwise he was going to be crucified. And Paul says, wait a minute, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Now actually, the salvation he was talking about there not only included salvation of his soul, but salvation of his body from being crucified. And then Paul added, and your house, because often they might kill family members as well. And so that's actually what happened. And the reason it happened is because these leaders found out, the people who had jailed Paul, that they had jailed Paul, who was a Roman citizen, without a trial. Now, whenever you jailed or you beat a Roman citizen without a trial, and if the Roman emperor found out about it, guess what? Whatever you had done to that citizen without a trial had to be done to you. So these men would have had to have been stripped and beaten, and they didn't want that to happen. So Paul says, well, you take care of us, you escort us out in an honorable way out of the city, and everything will be well with you. And so we can read between the lines that the Philippian jailer indeed was saved. Well, from there they had traveled to Thessalonica, then to Berea, then to Athens and Corinth, facing repeat opposition, all from Acts 17:1 to Acts 18:22. And that repeat opposition would have led to rapid flights and food and other material lacks. They probably weren't able to get enough clothes or get their clothes washed and so forth. So this is a real hardship, the persecution that they faced. So these Philippian believers addressed these needs that were created by Paul's ministry troubles. He probably needed some medicinal help to help with the scars that he had on his back or the oozing sores because of the beatings, he and Silas. They probably needed some food. They probably needed a change of clothes and so forth. So that they had met these needs. So they met material hardships. This is important. If we're considering missionaries and giving to missionaries, if we want to increase giving and so forth, we need to consider the issue of hardship. Some missionaries that we might support may have greater needs than others for various reasons. Hardship, sometimes it's the field that they're in. I'm thinking of the Trudeaus now, where they're facing the risk of loss of life because of communist guerrillas in the area, or there might be diseases that they face. You know, that's a special situation. On the other hand, there can be special needs. If you have missionaries that are in Europe, there may be requirements of the government for them, financial requirements, import duties and stuff that you know, we have to keep all sorts of things in mind. But keeping in mind material hardships is really good, and addressing those is really important. One time we had some missionaries, we found out as a board, they were actually running short and it was risking them missing meals. So we went ahead and dipped in either the deacon's fund or the food pantry, I think it was the food pantry, and we sent them a gift card or something so that they could put some meals on the table until things got better. So hardship is something we have to keep in mind. Then Paul's donors pleased God by giving faithfully to address Paul's material needs. The Philippians were the first and sole church to give to Paul when he left Macedonia. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, that's when he first started evangelizing the area, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So these people had been on the very beginning, they had been the ones who had started giving. And then they'd continue. Notice verse 16, when Paul is in Thessalonica, the Philippians repeatedly donated to Paul's needs. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. So this is a group of people that was really interested in helping Paul and giving. I really believe some churches are churches that are big givers. My father used to be involved in the process of getting missionaries to go to the foreign field and getting support from him. He said there are some churches that send really quality missionaries. Often they're small churches because they get better discipling in a small church. But he says invariably it's the large churches that can afford to give the amount. So he says what we do is we team up the giving of the large churches with people who come out of small churches as missionaries, and then they go out in the field. So, but faithfulness is very, very important. Then Paul's donors gave ample donations to address his material needs. In verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. The apostle reported that the gifts he had received from the Philippian believers through the agency of Epaphroditus caused him to abound, eradicating his material needs. Accordingly, their donations were likened to a sweet odor God would smell upon accepting a man's sacrifice at the temple, meaning God was well pleased with their ample donations. Every now and then we've received word from missionaries when we've had especially large offerings for them, especially Christmas time. And they'll come back and they'll say, we were overjoyed because, boy, we had this need and that need and this need and that need, and it met all of them. And it's always a thrill to see how what we've been doing and giving to the people has been ample enough really to address a need. So that's something to think in mind. If we're going to give an ample amount. And then Paul's donors gave toward an effective missionary in Paul. Verses 21 and 22 with chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. When closing his Philippian epistle, Paul sent greetings, especially from believers in their emperor's own household, what would have greatly encouraged these Philippian believers. Verse 21, salute everyone in Christ. The brethren which are with me salute you and greet you. And then verse 22, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now remember, in Philippi, these were Roman citizens. They had been granted by Caesar Roman citizenship because they were soldiers who had fought in the war and so forth. They'd had their lands confiscated. So to hear, especially from Caesar's household, people who were now believers in Christ would have encouraged these Philippian believers through the roof. And so they did it. Now, why was Paul greeting these people from Caesar's household? Well, if I go back to Philippians chapter 1, I see that Paul's ministry, his quality ministry, even though he was a prisoner, had reached to the praetorium. The praetorium was the guard that housed the guards who protected the emperor himself. And Paul says, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the praetorium, literally, and all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What happened is the Roman citizens and the Roman soldiers would be chained to Paul. They wanted to make sure that the prisoner could not leave or escape. So they would take shifts. These soldiers would take shifts, and they'd have to be chained to Paul. There's a chain maybe 5-6 feet long. Well, they were a captive audience, so Paul just gave them the gospel. And some of these guys are accepting the Lord as their Savior. They would take the gospel and they'd leave their shift. They'd go back to the praetorium, which is the barracks of the soldiers, and they would share the gospel. And some of these people were getting saved. And then some of the people in the household of Caesar were being led to Christ through these guards from the praetorium. So this is a thrill. Who knows? It may be Caesar's wife, maybe his sons, maybe some cousins, who knows, aunts, whatever. We're coming to know Christ as their Savior. So Paul could share these greetings since he was instrumental in leading them to Christ through his exposure to the Praetorian guards in Rome. The Imperial guards, who were at the times chained to Paul as captive audience where he could evangelize them. So Paul was certainly a credible, effective missionary worth his donors' financial support. See, Paul had a track record that made him credible. This is the type of man, this is the type of missionary you want to support. He did his work. He evangelized, and he was successful. So, giving to material hardships, giving faithfully, giving an ample amount, and giving to the effective type of missionary. And then God responded to such giving with ample material reimbursements for the donors. God kept an account of the donations by Paul's Philippian readers. Notice Philippians 4:17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account. Account? What account? God. God was keeping an account of their giving. All of the years that we've been here at Nepog Church, every single penny that has gone out to missions, God's been aware of. He's kept an account. And he's kept an account of everybody who's donated, whose monies is going in that direction. He knows that. And as a result, there is a reward for that. Verse 18b, it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. When we're given to God's works and God's ministries like that, it's actually like a sacrifice in the Old Testament in the temple. It's an odor. It's a sweet smell. It's acceptable. It's well-pleasing. It pleases God, especially if we give cheerfully and we give money that we've earned, we worked for it, and so forth. That's a tremendous ministry. So God promised to supply all the material needs of Paul's donors. See, God has a plan in mind. God says, all right, if you are on a regular basis going to give amply to my ministries and so forth, I'm going to protect you so that you can continue to give to my donor, give to my missionaries out here. That's the plan of God. He wants to protect the donors who are protecting or forwarding the work that he has. God's work is the gospel, getting the gospel out, teaching people. So if you're going to get involved in that, God will protect you. That's very interesting. So in the end, God would be eternally glorified in such giving by formerly lost Philippians to a formerly lost Paul, for their lives and deeds had been transformed by the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. In verse 20, Paul says, "Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Think of it. Paul, who at one time was going out of his way to kill Christians, is now a missionary who is being supported by Christians. All right? The grace of God is just permeates this whole thing. And Paul says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory," the glory of his grace. Tremendous. Paul's readers gave to address his material needs, wrought in the hardships he faced in his missionary ministry, doing so faithfully, amply, and that had given to an effective, reputable missionary. The Lord kept a record of it all, and so he amply reimbursed all the material needs of Paul's donors to the glory of the grace of God towards everybody. So to give to missionaries in ways that God will amply bless by way of material reimbursement, we need to give to meet real needs that counter hardships in the ministries that missionaries face. To give faithfully, to give an ample supply to address the missionaries' needs, and to give to spiritually effective, credible servants of the Lord. God keeps a record of all such factors in our giving and reimburses us as donors to meet all of our own material needs in accord with his great grace toward everybody who is involved. It's interesting, I've noticed over the years, when we get missionary letters, we'll get them like especially from the Buffards and Tom and Carol Buck. Of course, Tom's gone in to be with the Lord now, but Carol and so forth. We've noticed often they'll have a little handwritten note at the bottom or at the top, wherever. And one of the things that comes out that they appreciate so much is they said, "We so appreciate your faithfulness." Tom Buckley says that Nepog's church, I think, started donated to his ministry. It was years before I ever came to Nepog Church. And the Buffards have said, "We appreciate the giving that you've given to it." It's been, 35 years or something to the Buffards. They're very grateful for the faithfulness. You know why? When the missionary gets his income, he gets a record, it's like a stub or something, as to who gave towards that income that month, all right? And there are some who may give consistently, some others, but those who are consistently, year in and year out, every month, that amount there, that's an encouragement. Not only the money itself, but the fact that these people, like at Nepog Church, thought enough of their ministry to give and have been giving every month, that actually encourages them. That's a special encouragement, not just the money, but the fact that we're faithfully doing it. So there's a tremendous ministry just in consistency, let alone in meeting material hardships amply, and giving it to effective people, giving it and so forth. But there's a tremendous blessing in it, and we can have a tremendous blessing and be a real blessing in this realm. It's important because it's a very tangible way of helping with the ministry. Missionaries need money because they need it for food. They need it for medicine. They need it for meeting government requirements and taxes every now and then, you know, import duties and stuff like that. They need it to repair, you know, just like we do, tires on cars, for goodness sakes. I remember every now and then when we were in Africa, they had a settling bulb in a gas line, and when those would break, you couldn't get them in Africa. So I remember one missionary, she hollowed out a yam and screwed it in there, and she drove on the road for about 5 or 10 miles until it rotted away, and then she had to go out and get another yam and carve it out and, you know, have a settling bulb. Well, you know, after a while they learn just to work with what they've got. But if they can get someone to ship out to them several of these bulbs, then if that one of them breaks, you know, they can keep going and their work isn't cut out and it doesn't waste time for them too. So there are all sorts of wonderful ministries that we can have towards these people if we're consistent and if we're giving amply to meet their needs, and it's a blessing to them, and we become blessed in becoming a blessing to others.